Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Carl C. Callen.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. This is a fucking good time. Already. We got Corona.
Yeah. Hey, I take care of my guests. We're at the Brighton Bar. It's shut down, though, today for rain.
Depressing.
But it's like, you know, how long has it been since you did comedy, right? Except was the first time when I was 2 weeks ago here?
2 weeks ago, yeah. We had, 2 weeks ago. And
then last week, right? So that was your first set in 3 months, right?
I did a couple clandestine, I don't know if I can say. I did a couple, like, house open mics prior. So it wasn't, like, first, but it was the first at a, like, a venue or whatever. I did a couple, like, sets, like, in people's backyards and shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, I hadn't been out there. Yeah, I hadn't been out there.
The underground. So how long you been doing comedy in New Jersey, Carl?
I started in November of 2018. 2018, yeah, because 2019 was, like, the first full year. November, here, was my first time, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you're a local hero here. I've noticed all the respect you get. Last year at Brighton Bar, you were roasted.
Oh, they roasted me. They roasted me. Fucking marathon fucking roast. They got me fucking. They lit me up.
How did that transpire? How'd that come to be?
To be honest, I thought it was kind of funny that Dan Caprio, he would do you've been there to the Laughing Hell Hotel.
Yes, yes.
I thought it was funny because he sent me, like, an invite, and I had never gotten, like, a DM me for the address. And I was like, what the fuck does this mean? So one day we're, like, bullshitting or whatever, like, oh, maybe we have a show, maybe we have a roast. And then one day, just drunk, like, trolling a little bit, I was like, we're having a roast of me. DM Dan Caprio for the details. And I just wanted to see if people would, like, respond to it. And people, you know, they were into it. And Brighton gave us the okay, so then.
The roast of Carl C. Callen at the one and only Brighton Bar in Long Branch, New Jersey. Presented by Angelo Gingerelli, hosted by Roastmaster Dan Caprio. And featuring every comic you know from the Monday night open mic at the Brighton Bar. Going at Carl Callen.
You know, over the next few months, we kind of built up a little.
So you just started the rumor. It's happening.
Yeah, I just threw it out there. I was fucking loaded. And I was just like, I was like, I got a message from Dan Caprio. DM me for the fucking details. I was like, and then once I realized it's that, you know, his situation or whatever, I understood it. I just thought it was like, what is this? Like, yeah, DM? Yeah. It's like a mysterious, I was like, I'm just throwing out a fucking, DM me and we're having a show.
No, but you made it happen with your willpower. What was the, do you remember any jokes that stung that you were like, oh, we're all fun and games, and then you're like, god damn, you know?
Hey, Uncle Carl, is that your real voice? Is it back of camel no filters learn how to talk? What's up, Carl? I just dropped off some Adidas hoodies and Nike Air Monarchs to the Red Cross collection for the less fortunate. I expect to see you wearing those on August 8th at the Brighton Bar. Also, I'm about to slap that pom-pom hat off your head. I'm going to change my name from the Jersey Shore's Best Open Micos to the Jersey Shore's Best Pom-Pom Hat Slapper.
Oh, a few. Only because I'm sensitive about going, like, fucking my hairline. Because they make fun of my hairline in the family and shit and say I'm going bald. So there was a couple. Andy Bustamante, strangely enough, even though it was a silly punchline, of all the mean shit people said, I look like a rapist, I look like this, I look like that. Him saying I have a Jimmy Neutron forehead because he looked on my Facebook pictures. I was a little bit like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude. I'm getting a little fat. I'm getting a little pudgy in this quarantine. And I had no idea how bad it was getting until recently. I was at my mom's house 4th of July weekend, and she took out this box of photographs. And she's a little bit of a hoarder. It took us like 90 minutes to go through four boxes, shoe boxes filled with photographs. Me and my siblings were there. I'm going through pictures of when I was 17. I was shredded. Shredded. Like, there's one of me coming out of a pool like a Greek god. I'm like, I didn't even know I was fat. I don't look like this anymore. God damn. But, yeah, it's you get old and you just fall apart and people notice. And you're like, god damn, I didn't even notice that about myself. I was trying to.
You know what's crazy? Speaking of the body falling apart, the day, it was actually the day after. I really enjoyed the Dweck roast, which you were at.
Yeah.
It ended up being a good time or whatever, but I remember it's around Christmas, and I was working at a bakery, so a lot of fucking, like, dishes and moving around and shit. The day after, I fucking did something to, like, my ACL or something in the freezer. And because we had the open mic the night after. I drove here, like, with my fucking, you know, when you fucking, like, I don't know, it wasn't a tear, but it was, I did something.
You pulled it, yeah.
And fucking, I was like, what the fuck has happened to me? Mm-hmm. As in that I bent over. And couldn't get back up. Like, my fucking knee locked. I was like, this has never happened to me before.
Just bending over and picking something up in the freezer and it
my fucking knee locked and wouldn't, like, I couldn't just, like, my, you know, your joint pops. You go bend down and then you pop your knee a little bit when you stand up. It just never.
Yeah, yeah.
It just felt like I had a fucking, like, a rod in my fucking, in the side of my leg. God. It was fucking brutal. And I remember saying to myself, what the fuck? This is this. You know what I mean? Like.
Oh my God! So I have roommates and recently, so you know, a couple of roommates. It's not a big deal. We're all grown men, but one of them, he's got like PTSD from being a soldier, you know. And so I've been trying. So I'm a live and let live kind of guy, but when I noticed that this guy hadn't done the garbage in 8 months, I decided to put a chore chart on the wall and keep track scientifically that this piece of shit hasn't done dick. And, like, you know, I respect the fact that he's older, his body's falling apart, his brain's falling apart, he was in a couple wars, whatever, but it's like, I'm not gonna clean up after him anymore, so that's just not happening. So I put on a chore chart, and after a couple months, I was like, okay, so I knew one of my roommates, like, mopped, and so I come home. The guy with PTSD is in there. One of the other roommates, mop. I'm like, oh, it smells great in here. Let's call him Hugo. Hugo, it smells great in here. Did you bleach the whole house? It smells like bleach. And he's like, no, I didn't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. Let me just look at the chore chart. Oh, Hugo, I don't see your name anywhere on the chore chart. And he's like, you're the newest guy here. Like, you're the one who's making all the rules. You're making all the rules. I'm like, you haven't taken the garbage out in 8 months, right? So I proved it scientifically. This is science. I pointed a chore chart. These are my initials. He's like, that's not science. I go, it's dates and tasks. It is science.
Data.
A fucking statistician can make a PhD thesis out of this, motherfucker, right? So I put on the wall, roommate meeting. All the roommates need to come together and have a talk. He was home in his room. Did not show up to the meeting that we had loudly in the foyer. Okay? So the other day, all the other roommates are eating. We're cooking. We're eating. We're all in there. Hugo shows up. Impromptu meeting. Impromptu meeting. Right? So one of the roommates says, well, we all have to get along. The other roommate's like, you know, we got to do this and this. We got another fridge. So now you have more fridge space. We move. And then I said, oh, yeah, I also cleaned out the whole pantry, and now you have all this space. And he goes, why is he talking? He's running the meeting now? And he runs away, because I talked out of turn, according to rankings in the military. He ran in his room and slammed the door. I am such a fucking cunt. We got to have a whiteboard. And I wrote on the whiteboard a message for him. And I wrote, communication scientists in a shock study have published that the most evolved and least retarded form of communication is having a tantrum and slamming your door. So then this morning, he was like avoiding me, hiding in his room. But it's like, I don't know how to deal with this. The only joy in my life is comedy. Today, this fucking was canceled. I'm having a crisis.
Yeah, fucking, it's depressing. It's like I said to you when I texted you. It's like fucking, like playing fucking baseball, and you're like, yeah, you look, you know what I mean? You just want to practice and take some swings. And it's
no,
like,
it's going to
fucking rain, and then you're like,
no, right. The coach called the house line.
The fuck am I going to do now with this fucking, that's fucking weird, though, like, though, fucking living with people and shit, though, and trying to fucking figure out.
So you have roommates?
No, not right now. Not right now.
Have you had roommates before?
Trying to think, I never lived like in a permanent. I've only had like little doses of it.
Like not with college or something,
yeah,
like that.
I'd trips and lately I've been kind of like on and off staying with a girl and stuff who has a roommate, mm-hmm. So I get like a little bit like of a little whatever. Flavor. But I'll stay with my mother until fucking.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, I'm fucking on the way, but I don't know where to... Honestly, I don't even know where I spend my nights. I'm trying to think. Like, where do I stay? But no, I never live in a fucking... I never live... For the most part, yeah, I'm fucking...
Oh, my God. I got used to it. You know, I went to the University of New Orleans, and I stayed in a four-bedroom dorm, basically. And, like, every semester, I had new roommates, you know? So it was cool. I had a guy from France, my friend Robin. He listens to the podcast, and a friend from, a guy from the Czech Republic, you know, all sorts of, so I'm, like, used to it. So, like, putting up a chore chart is something I did every semester to make sure that motherfuckers clean their own dishes. And I've never had somebody go, no, you've only lived here a little bit of time, I outrank you, so I get to do nothing. Like, it's not like he's like, oh, let me make the rules. There's no rules.
Right.
He gets mad when I talk out of military rank.
So it's all based on that hang up of fucking rank and
yeah, play. No, he stays there longer, so he should make the rules. What rules do you want?
Yeah.
Well, you guys clean up after me. Like, if that's the rule, I'm gonna stab you. So it's just like oh my god.
Yeah, you're the son of a hoarder. PTSD. Take out the fucking trash. I'll fucking lose my mind. I have too much fucking stuff around.
Yeah. So, sorry, I don't know how I got on that. So it just happened yesterday. I'm supposed to be interviewing you. I'm just talking about my personal life.
But where are you from? You're from Jersey.
I'm from Jersey.
And you went down there to school.
Correct.
And how did that, like, that was just by you applied there? Did you have, like, a reason why you
wanted to? So I actually lived in Los Angeles before I went to New Orleans. So I went to the new school in New York City. I'm from a little town in Morris County, New Jersey, called Long Valley. It's near, like, Hackettstown. Then I went to the new school for undergrad. Then I lived in L.A. for 5 years. I worked on reality shows. I got fired from a reality show. I had no money and no prospects. And I read it that there's a screenwriting program that gives out scholarships at the University of New Orleans. So I was like, that's a check, please. So I got in there. I got two scholarships. I went to the University of New Orleans. I did stand-up every night. Met some of my best friends in the world. Then I went back to L.A. trying to get a screenwriting agent. That didn't work out. But I met a guy out there, and he's like, oh, I just got a $5,000 camera. Do you want to film, like, one of your screenplays, like, a part of it, and then we'll, like, try to raise money for it? And I was like, how about a stand-up special, you know? So I drove from L.A. to New Orleans to New York City, and I shot 50 shows on the road. And it just got edited recently, and it's we're putting out 3 30-minute specials July 15th, and they're called Conspiracies and Dick Jokes, Fart Porn and Beer Halls, and It's a Medical Device. So that's what I have coming up in 2 weeks.
Nice.
And hopefully, my plan is after this run, after it comes out, I can, like, and it's coming out on Amazon Prime July 15th. I hope after that happens, I can move to Journal Square and take the PATH train to Manhattan every night and do stand-up in New York every night. But right now, everything's still closed, and so I just...
That's fucking rough, right? Like, when you're going, like, you build up to that, you get your shit out.
I put out a special, and then it's gone, right? So it's like...
That's cool, though, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to definitely... check that out.
Yeah, I can even, like, send you a private link, a screener link, if you want. No problem.
I'm gonna pay for it. out of respect.
Well, you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Right, Amazon
Prime for free. If you have Amazon Prime, you'll be able to see it. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, it's just in such a weird place. It's like, you know, Bill Gates, he wants to microchip everyone's brain and vaccinate everybody with a digital passport in their cerebral cortex in order for you to be able to go to a baseball game. You know, he dropped out of college, Bill Gates. He flew on the Lolita Express. And he started a vaccination program in Indonesia, which injured every participant. And now he's wanted for crimes against humanity in the country of Indonesia, Bill Gates is. So let's listen to him on the television every fucking night. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's creepy, man. It's shit's creepy. It's like one of those things where, like, the whole world's up in arms about the wealth and who has the power. And then we just fucking blindly just, you know what I mean? Like a fucking,
in
smaller ways, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who goes on a podcast and tells you that the fucking planets revolve around the sun. why is he, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are doing fucking stadium shows, like fucking Aerosmith, Jordan Peterson, you know what I mean? Even people who I fucking like. I mean, Jordan Peterson, he gets fucking hit with the, like, he's a fucking evil conservative, whatever, yeah. But I'm a big fucking psychology fan, and that's his thing, Jung and fucking Freud, and so I'm just a fan because I watch his fucking lectures and blah, blah, blah. I don't fucking care what he says about trans rights and whatever the fuck, but it's like, we just blindly, but I thought that's what we're against, like, why the fuck Bill Gates?
Right.
Isn't that the fucking, your instinct is to not trust? As in, how do you get that much? You can't be that smart. I'm sorry. A lot of smart people living in the fucking gutter.
And in the 90s, you know, he was being charged for having a monopoly on the computers and being like a corporate shithead who's greedy. And now we're listening to him about science and medicine.
I don't trust these fucking people. I don't trust fucking any of them. And fucking now... Shout out to my friend Vinny Brew. You know Vin Brew.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good friends with him. Yeah.
He fucking is into the fucking... Because years ago, I read that fucking Mark Zuckerberg was colonizing Hawaii. That he's just buying all the land there and fucking the native... You know, people with stakes in the native, they fucking family, and he's just trying to fucking... He basically wants to own Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And they're fucking fighting... They were fighting them years ago, but now apparently it still happened. Vin Brew just posted it on Twitter, and I was like, Jesus Christ. Because he kind of, like, stepped back from it. They kind of were like, hey, you're fucking... What... This modern colonist, you know. So he stepped back, but apparently he's subtly trying to, like, who the fuck are these people? And where did the money come from? Like, who, you know?
Yeah. So I've had this guy, Benjamin Fulford, on my podcast many times. He was the Asia Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine. I think I talked to you about him. But he says that Mark Zuckerberg is the nephew of David Rockefeller. So it's just these dynasties that you think, like, oh, he made his own money. No. He was Grandpa, you know, Uncle Rockefeller, can I have more money for my startup via the CIA, please?
It was in the fucking cards, seemingly. It's like fucking Bush, Clinton, you know what I mean? Like, in the trails of fucking where you just go, even if somebody new came, you don't know who the fuck bought who behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just like this forever thing of like, what the fuck are we now with the microchips and the fucking AI and the fucking, it's, I don't know.
And Bill Gates invests in every company that has to do with vaccines, and then he's saying everyone needs to get vaccines. So he has a conflict of interest, at the minimum. So everyone needs a microchip and a vaccine in their head that you made? And then the government's like, yeah, listen to Bill. And it's like, man, fuck this guy. Like, can we listen to any scientist who wasn't on Pedophile Airline Express? Is there one fucking actual college-educated scientist who isn't a lazy dipshit who dropped out? Not that everyone who drops out of college is lazy, but it's like, I want to talk to people who weren't on the Pedo Island airplane. He flew from Teterboro to Palm Beach, Florida. By the way, it's on the flight log that Bill Gates did that. And he doesn't have a medical degree. So is there any other qualified person, you know, and it's like Trump has, you know, spray tanned himself a color that is not human. You know, it's like they're all retarded people.
It's fucking scary. But I think like what you're saying is that like, where is the scientist? But I think if you get into that room with those people or you're on a certain level, you either fucking play ball with whoever the fuck makes the rules or yeah. Or you get your fucking throat cut. So a lot of motherfuckers are just going, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't want to take the risk because they got families. They're actually human beings and not fucking creeps who just rape kids and fucking do whatever. You know what I mean? Like, so you slip through there. It's either you're a revolutionary and you're going to get fucking, it's you versus them.
So do you think, you do comedy because you can speak to truth to power on every subject? Like, that's why I think it's so powerful, you know?
Yeah, like, maybe not initially, but I think underlying it, and this is why I have trouble, because I'm not, like, a big political guy, but if there's a few things... Like, in other words, John Beecroft, doing shout-out. Shout-out to John Beecroft. You know John Beecroft?
I know, of course.
He was gonna fucking have me on a show that got canceled in March. It was, like, right after they shut everything down or whatever. He was doing, like, a communist-themed fucking thing. And my plan was to go dress as an American flag as Carl Capitalism. Just to, you know, fuck around and have a good time or whatever.
Yeah.
But I had this whole fucking joke and this scheme about, like, basically, the fucking Sebastian, whatever the fuck his name is, that's the joke. People don't answer their doors anymore and blah, blah, blah. And I had this whole metaphor about fucking God and the kid who fucking rings the doorbell thinking he's poking authority, but nobody answers the door. So he's thinking, oh, I'm fucking with this person in their house. And if I'm that person, I'm not answering the door no matter what.
Right.
If I'm that kid, I'm, you know, you're wondering what the fuck is behind that door, like about fucking, and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but like about comedy and stuff, free speech. And I think that underlying it, as in I don't go into it like you're saying about truth to power and blah, blah, but like once you do it, you go, yeah, you're fucking, you know what I mean? You want to just say what the fuck you want to say.
Yeah.
And you make the context because that's the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's, because in other words, when you do it in real life, that's evil shit. Mm. Bill Gates, he's making up his own fucking set of, you know what I mean? It's like, it's this or that. It's politics. You're making a context. It's not the same for whatever your point and your fucking agenda, but that affects real people.
Yeah, like he sets up the chessboard and then tells everybody to move their pieces in a certain way so that he can flip it that way and then
it's like
successful.
That fucking, I don't know, are you like, you like what do you read? You read? Like,
I read.
What do you like to read? Like,
well, there's this guy called Anthony Sutton. I've read his work. Yeah, I don't know. I've been working on a lot of my screenwriting, so I've been reading less. But what are you reading?
These days, I don't know. I can fucking tolerate like 5 pages or something. It's weird. I used to read a lot as a kid, and then I started smoking weed, and now I just like to read a little bit and just think. Things or whatever. But a fucking Dan Simmons, he was like a fucking Stephen King type, like.
Sure.
And he had this fucking long-ass book, but at the end of it, the fucking, it's basically like what you were saying. They're physically this fucking, I can't remember what the file comes about. He's like they're like vampires or something. But they have a human chessboard, and he's playing chess with real, like, with people, because it's like this fucking, it's like one of those, like, vampire, like, fucking, but it was all tied into, like, political shit, as in, vampires were the explanation of why, like, the power gets passed down to fucking, but then he fucking, this guy was controlling fucking human beings on a chessboard, just for fun.
Yeah.
But it's fucking, I think, closer to reality than you think.
Well, you know, I really research like the Federal Reserve and what and their moves. The Federal Reserve is a group of private banks that own the right to print American money. Okay, so, they're in Switzerland, they're the Bank of England, the Bank of this and that. They actually own the right to print our money, and it gives them, as Fulford always says, godlike powers. When you have the printing press and you print as much or as little as you want. And then other people, then you go to a restaurant and you're like, here, take these fucking paper dollars. And I want 2 mustards. And I want this. Waiter is busting his ass serving these cunts who just typed in fucking money in a computer, but they run shit, so they get the right to do that. And everybody else, like the plumber that comes in and takes the actual shit out of their fucking pipes, busting his ass, you know, they just give him the paper, whatever, the monopoly money that they printed. It is like that. They are vampires. They're do-nothing dynasty vampires, you know?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people trace that back to where they fucking changed it from, like, silver and gold-based currency.
Yeah.
Which it seems to make more sense, but what the fuck does that mean? Like, as in, like, in other words, if there is no world, say there's an apocalypse, as in gold, it's expensive. What the fuck does gold do for you? Like, in other words, shouldn't fucking water be...
Well,
like, it's just
I get
like,
that, but, okay, so think of it like this. So if the United States and China, or the United States and another country are trading currency and products and services, hey, I get coconuts from Brazil, let me give you these fake dollars. If the dollars are worth nothing because they're just printed from the machine... But if they're representing of actual gold in Fort Knox, those are two different things. And what happened is, you know, to make up for their lack of actual value, America buys value from China. China pays for our debt. And then when they call in our debts, we go, fuck you, we have nukes. So it's like, you ever see Casino? Like Joe Pesci in Casino is the muscle, right? So every mob person needs a muscle, right? So it's like he would go gamble, and then they'd be like, Joe Pesci, you know, pay your debts, you know? And he'd be like, fuck you, I'll break your fucking kneecaps, you know what I mean? But when he would win, he would take the money, And when he would lose, he'd say, fuck you, because he was the muscle, right?
Yeah.
So that's why America literally, their foreign policy is like Joe Pesci.
Dogs, can you hear me, dogs? Listen to me, Anthony. I got your head in a fucking vice. Squash your fucking head like a grapefruit. Fuck you. This motherfucker, you believe this? 2 fucking days of nights. Fuck me. Fuck me, you motherfucker. Fuck my mother. That's what you fucking tell me. Motherfucker, you, huh?
Yeah. And, like, that is what, it's like, what?
Yeah.
And they just, we just print out all the money we want, which is based on nothing, and then make all the other countries of the world be our fucking servants, or we shoot them. So, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, being a comedian on this house of cards to begin with, it's like there's just levels of nonsense.
Yeah, and in a weird way, all the stuff you're saying, and this is backing the fucking our existence where we think we're out, everybody's fighting for the rights of this and that and blah, blah, blah. You make something of yourself and they heard you say the word retarded and now you can't work anymore. As in, look at all the evil and the shit that goes on, and the fucking things they go, and then they go, Eric Hollaback says retarded. Like, we'll take him fucking, as in, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
You can fly and rape kids willy-nilly, but I can't say fucking what the fuck I want
to
say.
Oh, Bill Gates. Yeah, let's listen to his TED Talk. Oh, he predicted vaccines.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And so, you know, although there's a lot of work on testing, a lot of work on drugs that we're involved with, you know, trying to achieve that ambitious goal, which has never been done, for the vaccine, that rises to the top of the list. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines...
If Bill Gates would do one speech not about mass death and overpopulation, I would be like, you know what, he's a good guy, he's a computer nerd, whatever, whatever. But it's just like all he's saying is like there's so many people, the CO2, the global warming, there's so many people. It's like, bro, you know, he's giving away his evil plot.
Yeah, I got fucking too drunk here one night last summer. It's actually coming up, I think it was fucking July. I'm fucking rambling about fucking, because I think Stephen Hawking fucking had just died or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like nothing like political or whatever, but like we have a weird thing in the culture where Stephen Hawking dies, right? And he's the greatest mind that ever lived, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And this fucking guy, maybe he was getting fucking delirious because he was fucking on his fucking deathbed or whatever, but he's going like AI and alien.
According to the new head of GCHQ, the internet has become the command center for criminals and terrorists. But I think the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race.
And all this and we just go, he's the greatest mind, and nobody really takes it. You know what I mean? It's like this weird, like, hero worship. But is he right? Or did we just make him, as in, what the fuck is Hawking radiation? There was radiation. We already had radiation. He wrote a fucking textbook or two, and he's lauded as this fucking, but I'm like, well, then I'm going to take him seriously. This fucking guy says in 10 years, they're going to have AI that fucking, like the shit you're saying, microchips. And maybe that's what he was getting at. And he was, but it's like, we have a weird thing in fucking, they fucking put some sugar on it and some fucking whatever. And Bill Gates is just, you know what I mean? They'll find a way.
Yeah, well, we have to track where the virus is going. Not every movement and your current, heartbeat, you know.
It's fucking weird, man. And part of me just goes, what the fuck am I doing? And it's almost like it fucking, if you read into it and you believe it, you go, why the fuck should I make something of myself? Just to have it taken away or controlled by some forces I can't, you know what I mean? Yeah, it makes you want to live in the fucking bubble, but then like, am I really living? Or am I really fucking, I was drunk at a fucking barbecue the other day, and I'm talking about fucking Bob Marley, as in, if Bob Marley just gets his one toe amputated and then grows old, And then we see him at the fucking Staples Center just hanging. And he's just this old guy who still, he does the halftime show at the fucking Super Bowl. Do we still go, he's the most inspirational fuck? You know what I mean? Everything he says, it's just like...
Is it because he died young? He has this mystery to him. He's forever canonized as this hero.
And now we have this weird thing with, like, intellectuals or what they fucking... But those motherfuckers know that that only goes so far. Being a sexy professor and being... You can win a debate. It only goes so far. So who the... You know, who's seeing the reality? And part of me goes... You know what I mean? Like, there's this weird fucking group of fucking... You know, you got Joe Rogan, the Ben Shapiro. Like, these fucking people, they're just like... It's almost like they fucking, like, do they want in on that higher level of fucking, like, these political, these people who make fucking careers on political fucking blah, blah, blah. But I feel like when you get in that door, it's like you're bought. Yeah. And then, you know what I mean? Yeah, like a motherfucker who told the truth for 20 years. If he ever steps through that fucking thing, now he has to play ball. Otherwise.
So you think at a certain point they're like, listen, you're going to be talk about politics, but only in this framework. And your millions is coming from the cupcake company. Big Cupcake is going to run every political decision you make in the future is run by Big Cupcakes.
It's exactly what you were saying. It's the fucking mafia.
Nikki was the new boss of Las Vegas.
It's like you pay it. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, you'll stay on TV. But you'll never fucking, it's like the Sopranos going, when they fucking realized that fucking in the Sopranos were like corporate coffee shops. They're like, oh, these new coffee shops are opening up in fucking Newark. Like, let's go tell them what the deal is. Like, you want your windows broken or do you want, and the guy's like, I'm sorry, corporate, I can't give you any money out of the register. Right. Like, for protection, it's corporate. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, as in, but it's the same fucking thing. You can stay on TV now and talk about politics. But you have to say what we fucking dictate.
If you break an ongoing CIA counterintelligence operation where they're trying to lie to the public in a certain way to get a certain outcome, then it's like, oh, well, he said retard, you know.
It's over with. Yeah,
cancel they're culture. Fucking... So they'll find, because everyone who's been on the internet for a while or had a podcast for a while, I mean, I've said inflammatory things. I've been drunk as hell on this podcast before, too. Like, just talking nonsense. It's like, yeah, you could probably take that clip where me and my buddy are drunk and laughing and saying horrible things to make each other laugh. That's what we're doing. That's what the whole point of... That's why I like comics, because they're, you know, it's a brotherhood of saying fucked up shit and knowing that we're just joking. Or knowing that I might not be joking, I'm exploring it. Is this real? Is this right?
Which is fucking, is something that should be valued and respected and appreciated. You know what I mean? Because, like, I was talking to a fucking lady, and she was saying something rape joke. Rape jokes are never funny. Like, one of those. Like, rape joke, blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, right.
And I almost got into it fucking with her, and just to, then I was just like, because people say what the fuck. It's like, you can't fucking convince people when they're fucking, you know what I mean? It's not worth it. It wasn't worth it on a social level to fucking try to fucking, but she's going, something rape jokes, they're never fun. I'm just like, what is the root of rape? The idea of, like, it's a justifiable no. This man's putting his hands on this woman. She's, you know what I mean? She should be able to say no, and he should stop. And if not, it's a crime. It's a fucking assault. So on a fucking symbolic level, to tell somebody, don't, no, you can't say.
Yeah.
It's like, now you're confusing on a grand scale the justifiable no. Your intention is to tell a joke and tell a bunch of, compare that to the girl getting fucking, somebody forcing themselves on her. Compared to your intention.
No, you're raping my comedy.
Absolutely.
By telling me no.
Absolutely.
You're raping my comedy.
And they go, how dare you? It's like, nobody would fucking
trivialize. Without my consent.
We could laugh till fucking blah, 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 but I think, we both know it's fucking...
No, you're raping someone's free speech.
And that's why, like...
First Amendment. First Amendment, the most important one.
And I, you know, it's like, it's one of those deals where it's like, it's only the risk of, like, because they're going to stop me before I even got a fucking word out. You know what I mean? We're having a civil conversation. You would listen to my point, but... Talking to somebody else, they're going to cut me off. And how dare you even... I'm not comparing. I'm saying on the level of I don't have a hand in every motherfucking thing that happens in the world. I'm saying in this context, these people looking at me, not raping anybody. Me not raping anybody. My intention is to hopefully get a laugh or maybe make somebody fucking think or fucking whatever. That intention is good. So to fucking go, you can't. It's like it's just leading to... What if a fucking girl who fucking wants to be, do comedy, and you put the fucking idea subliminal in her head that this is right, or because of whoever the fuck, it's just not a good way of, it's just not a good way of being.
If someone was, if a girl was raped and wanted to do a rape joke about the rapist and the exact scenario in which she was raped, you know, it's a, and then another one comes up, don't tell rape jokes. What are you talking, like, I can't transmute, I can't physically transmute this agony and pain into comedy and joy. You don't want me to go through that alchemical process, you know? Let's not talk about rape, let's talk about consent for just a moment. I'm a little jealous of you and your girlfriend. She's a sweet girl. I see her in, you know, little basement shows, little shitty shows. She's your road dog. She follows you around. I was half wondering if she was going to show up here to this podcast. She's a sweet lady. Has she been with you from your first open mic? Or is she more recent?
Pretty much, yeah. Since she's fucking Kelsey. Kelsey Volk. She's a singer. She does the open mics on Tuesday here. But yeah, okay. Since I started, she's always been in support of things, and she's starting to, like, you know, well, she started before they shut everything down. She was doing, like, you know, starting to run her own shows and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But yeah, she's always been coming out. She was gonna come to the open mic. She had to work till 6, so she was gonna come and hang at the open mic or whatever. But yeah, since fucking...
Do you feel more, like, invincible on stage, or more, like, how do I say, confident on stage? Because it's like, no matter what happens, if I bomb or kill, like, she's in my corner no matter what. Like, do you have this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like a weird yes and, like, yes and no, almost. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, that's a good question. I would go... You know, she's just a fucking honest person. She's very fucking objective, and she's very... So it's almost like, yeah, I just go into it as at the least for... In other words, she's not going to bullshit me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if, like, you bomb, she's not going to be like, great job.
But at the same time, she's a performer herself, so she understands, like, so... But yeah, I wonder sometimes, because, yeah, I never did comedy, like, really going out and, like, trying to get fucking laid or something, right. Or, like, wanting to fucking... So it is a little bit... Sometimes I think about that. Like, is it an advantage? And it's, like, on a nightly basis, like, there's times where I have no motivation. And part of me goes, if I was trying to get my dick sucked, maybe I'd fucking whatever, and you can be a little bit like, whatever, and then it's, But I would say, ultimately, yeah, it's an advantage. It's just support. It's a fucking support system that I definitely fucking appreciate.
No, and I felt... So I didn't know this about myself, but in New Orleans, like, I had this girlfriend, and cheated on me, and she had a kid and all this stuff, and, like, for that, as I was going through that, like, during that time of, like, just hearing the news I was cheated on, blah blah blah, I would go around to open mics like, I'm gonna fucking shoot myself, I'm not gonna be alive very much longer, like this and that.
Wait.
Then I got a different girlfriend who, from comedy, I had a good set, this hot redhead was in the crowd, I was like, hey baby, what's up, you want a drink, what do you drink? I bought her a drink, she came back to my house. Dude, I walk in, like, on, I'm, like, tap dancing into the next show, and the host literally goes, looks like Hollaback got his groove back. I don't know what's going on with him, but he looks happy as fuck. Like, because the last set he saw me, I was like,
I'm probably
going to fillet a revolver until I fucking blow my fucking brains out. And then I'd, like, show up, like, yet that, that, and I was like, man, when I have a girlfriend and when I'm getting my dick sucked when I'm, like, just got cheated on in the dumps. Boy, does it affect my performance.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like a weird thing, because you know how this shit is. Like, you go fucking, you did 50 shows, and you know how it is on a nightly basis. You fucking, you're up, you're down, you fucking, you feel good, you feel like shit.
Yeah.
And it's almost like coming into it, like, with somebody, like, in your corner or whatever, it's almost like, it definitely forced me a little bit to fucking accept little fucking bullshit in my head about, like, where I would just think about it. Like, would I fucking have more motive? Like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Like, maybe if I'm trying to be sexy, is it good or bad? Right. Maybe I'll bomb worse and not get, like, you don't know, because it's fucking hypothetical, but it's, like, it's definitely fucking forced me in a way to fucking really just, like, appreciate the fucking, whatever they call it. Richard Dweck calls it the craft. Like, to really go, it's about the fucking, I'm trying to fucking get something out there, I'm trying to work on, because it's not about some frivolous, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can come off the cuff.
He's talking about Magic the Gathering though, when he talks about that. the craft, yeah. But finger painting, or like putting popsicle sticks together and gluing them into like a nice village.
Because I know you've said in the past like about fucking like it fucking makes your head want to explode when people are just fucking around up there and they're not doing material and fucking, you know what I'm saying? And if you're trying to get your dick sucked. A lot of times you fucking have new material. You don't know what the fuck. You haven't worked it out yet. Coming off the cuff, you could probably get a laugh and get your dick sucked. But if you have somebody who's, you know what I mean? And you're in a fucking thing, you go, let me fucking do my material, even though I'm not going to maybe look as good as the person who went before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as in, and it kind of like, because I know you've said it in the past. I mean, they broke your balls in the fucking chat of the Dweck roast about saying, like, write for it and shit. And, you know. I agree with you. I had to take it as, like, a challenge because I like that. I like that. I go, this guy's fucking kind of poking me, going, like, be on your shit. I like that.
Because, like, I was going, like, I was on the list. I saw the list came out. I went, like, 27th. Okay? So I'm like, and I wrote for, like, 2 months. I was really, really serious about it. And I'm like, I don't want to wait through 27 people going, what else should I say? Well, get off the stage immediately!
Get
off the stage! If you have nothing and you prepared nothing... And you exude your nothing to take all of your time. There's nothing more maniacally narcissistic. It's not give me attention now for the nothing I've nothing.
Yeah, right.
It's be as fucking funny as possible. You fucking, you know, attention whore, do nothing, fucktard, you know? So it's like, dude, and also when I left New Orleans, they roasted me. I had a big roast. And one of the people, I don't want to name their name because they're a friend of mine, but they were like, oh, I'm just going to do this off the dome. It was terrible. And I gave the light many times and they kept going and it ruined the whole thing. Like half the audience left. Why? Because one person blew the mic, the light double and did not tell one joke. And it ruined it. And roast jokes are the hardest thing. It's like set up, punch. There was not one word I said that I didn't write down. And then, you know, I wrote 50 jokes and I told 10. That's just the reality.
That's the fucking... I remember that night saying, and I was just fucking... That was like my version of like the roast. I was breaking your balls going, I didn't fucking write for... But like I did. Like, you know what I mean? That's why like I respect... And when you said that, I saw it and I was like, I gotta like... You know what I mean? Like I gotta go like, all right, I like this. That he's fucking... He's kind of pre-roast getting into, like, people's heads and going, but...
And I said that, like, 3 weeks out of the roast. Like, right for this.
Yeah.
And then, like, a lot of comics, like, came up and were talking shit. Who's holler back? I don't have to write for nothing. Shut up.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to suck if I want to. Fuck you. Right. Be good. Try to be good.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, I would have been good if I tried. Why are you holding a microphone? I don't get it.
And that's why, what you were saying, like, we lucked out when we did the fucking roast here in August. Like, we lucked out with, like, people went long. And you know what I mean? Like, it was, a loose, like, 5 to 10.
We had
people do fucking 15, but, like, they came with fucking jokes. Mm. They came with fucking, you know what I mean? Like, because we recorded it, we edited it, we put it out and shit. And it's just, like, it's a 4-hour show. It's tough to fucking... And I feel like we kept, like, 75% of the crowd there till fucking midnight. And people fucking, but exactly, like, in other words, I just threw it out there and I didn't fucking, but, like, exactly what you said, like, we lucked out because people came and they weren't fucking, you know what I mean? They weren't bullshitting. Like, they came we were like, we're not having a light and we're just going to, you know what I mean? And hope the fucking atmosphere in the room tells you.
Yeah.
You didn't fucking prepare. Get the fuck all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a couple people, you could tell they were kind of like, I got like 3 minutes and they did it and they fucking, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but like, you can't guarantee that. So when people are fucking indulgent, you just go, what are you treating? Where you go, it's about their attention and blah, blah, blah. It's a fucking show.
Yeah.
Would you want to watch a fucking show that they didn't try to write? Or like a show that they fucking didn't plot or they didn't fucking... Or
like, I didn't write it like Green Day gets. Oh, we didn't write any songs for this. So we're just going to kind of jam. They had a Spinal Tap had something like that. We're just going to jam because one of their guitarists left and everybody laughed and booed them. But, I don't know. What else? I had another example of something like that. Oh, so I was in New Orleans, and I started getting... So in 3 years, I did stand-up every night. There's only 350,000 people in New Orleans. I started getting recognized. I started, like, on the street, you know, this and that. And somebody came up to me after my set, and I was trying to get my dick sucked by my second girlfriend. I was trying to leave. And the guy was like, oh, hold on. Wait. Give me some advice. And I said, okay, you know, get a notepad. And he goes, whoa, I'm better off the dome. And I go, okay. And I go, here's a list of all the mics. Whoa, I'm only going to do this one and this one. And I go, okay, here's my next piece of advice. No, whoa. I go, what are you doing to me right now?
Right.
I started yelling at him. I'm trying to get my dick sucked right now, okay? I told you 3 pieces of advice. You told me no to all of them. I don't know what do you want from me, right? And he later on, like 2 mics later, I saw him. And he was like, man, you were so arrogant to me when you were talking. I was like, I told you to get a notebook. That's arrogant. He's like, I'm better off the dome, right? So then he took out crack. And he packed a crack bowl and he started smoking crack in front of me. I go, there's your answer.
I guess that's off the dome.
I'm better off the dome.
But like, so what's your process? Are you a straight, like, write it and try it? Or are you like a little bit of both? Are you a little bit of... Because that's what I get caught in between, as in, I'm with you on the... I don't like watching people go up there and fuck around and they're not doing anything. They're not trying anything. But I find myself sometimes... Like, I can prepare stuff and go up and do it, but sometimes I find myself going in retrospect to, like, if I went a little slower on that setup, if I felt it out, if I tried to, as in, I would be too rigid on, like, I wrote this shit, let me do this shit, but if you're not careful, then you become that fucking, you're up there just fucking, like, writing on stage. There's a difference between fucking guy who's getting paid for an hour at the end of the year writing on stage versus... Mm. You're at the open mic. You got 5 minutes. You're writing on stage. Say your fucking premise. So sometimes I get caught between, like, maybe I do a little half and half. Like, I'll write down some notes and try to, you know, keep it into a fucking, or if I find a, but sometimes I find myself not letting myself, like, loose a little bit to find that punchline in that way.
Right, 'cause
part of me goes, I'm so worried about, like, in that room. I don't want to fucking...
Yeah.
I don't want to fail in the room.
Yeah.
So I got to fucking, and then I find myself like abandoning things when part of me knows you had a little ripple there.
Yeah.
Like, and then, but sometimes it does. Like that week later, that punchline, you're like, that's the fucking punchline to that little fucking. Yeah. But like, so what's your process? You like, you write and then, or use a little bit of.
I would say I'm 80-20 of like prepared 80 and 20 improv. But. I had a big debate with Franco Danger, because Franco Danger, I think, is brilliant, one of the best comics in New Jersey.
I've seen him a few
he's
days.
So
he's good.
Funny.
He's good.
And he's one of my good friends. He's such a sweet guy, too. But he had this whole thing called No Joke November that I think ruined...
That was the fuck... I remember you fucking left fucking Caprio's, and then you were fucking furious. It's like, No Joke November went a little... You were like, you're an 80-20 guy. This is the 100. You're like, the fuck?
100% of the comics were getting up with 0% material, and I was like, dude, I just did like 3 shows in a row where everyone's like, I'm observing No Joke November, so... And I would be like, oh, my God. But when I talked to Franco Danger about it, he was like, well, you know, instead of doing my prepared material, I'm sick of my prepared material. So I go, okay, well, I don't have anything prepared. But, you know, let me talk about my uncle at the barbecue, because he's kind of a crazy guy. It's like, so he would go up with, like, a premise of, like, just talking about the character of his uncle. Like, you know, he's always losing money sports gambling and this and that.
Right.
But he has something to start with when it's... What else? If you do that a nanosecond, get off the stage.
What else do I have?
Yeah, because now you're being self-indulgent instead of performing for a crowd. Now you're just literally getting an orgasm from the eyeballs on you instead of, which is disgusting to me. So, you know, maybe just as an ugly person, I'd like to say that you should, when you want attention, you should earn it.
I'll co-sign that. I've had that mentality. Like, I better fucking...
Yeah.
I can't just sit here and... I don't look good, so you can't just sit here.
Yeah. Like, if I was a man dime, if I was Leonardo DiCaprio, I might just, like, you know, read the phone book or something. But you know, Johnny Depp, you know, if in interviews, he's, like, legally retarded. But, you know, when he's given a script and time to prepare, he's the greatest movie star in the world. So, I don't know. What am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, allow yourself to improvise, especially if you, like, write down a premise. Like, again, like, Uncle at a barbecue. Like, that's a premise. So then you can keep improvising, flushing it out. But then have, when you're done with that, like, have the next premise ready on deck, ready to go. So have a couple premises, and that's fine if you're, like, especially if you just record a comedy album or if you're just starting and you're trying to do it. But I'd say eventually, my whole thing is, like, hypothesis, experimentation, fact. You have a hypothesis. I think this is funny. Let me experiment on stage. And experimenting on stage is a little bit of improv. When it's a fact, it's funny. Write it down and record it as your first album and get your comedy started, you know? Because I didn't even know this was possible, but I've met people that have been doing it 20 years, never recorded anything. Like Jay Leno, even. He never records anything because he wants to reuse the same material in Toledo, Ohio.
I had no idea. He fucking does the fucking weekends every year, fucking since forever.
Yeah.
At this fucking, where you go like Jay Leno, you don't realize he does a fucking hour like every weekend.
Yeah.
Like at the same fucking, I actually got to go and see him this year. It was the last show before they shut everything down. And, yeah, he did, like, an hour and a half. But I remember hearing him on a fucking thing saying that. Like, that's his mentality.
Yeah.
Like, as in, what's the point? As in, obviously, you know.
I don't want to record it and put it out there. Right, and right, now right. Everyone has my jokes. I can't do them again. That's called laziness. That is called laziness. Jay Leno is lazy in the regard that he doesn't want to record his material, burn it all, and start again. Because then you're doing, what do you...
Right.
You're a time capsule. You should be a living, breathing, human being comedian who's able to have an opinion on new things that happen in the news, in the world.
But if it's
during the quarantine, during, like, you know, an asteroid hits, you know, New York City, he doesn't even mention it. He's like, so what's the deal with blondes at the beach? It's like, dude, you wrote that joke in 1974, you lazy cunt.
I saw him fucking, and it's funny because, like, just because I had a fucking, not like, because I didn't do stand-up, like, at the time or whatever, but I had this fucking, I had this idea about when fucking Mattel recalled the toys because of the fucking lead in the paint. This goes back to when I was, like, in fucking high school. That was a story in the news.
Right.
And I had this, like, idea I wanted to write a fucking show where, like, you know, just idiot characters, like a fucking It's Always Sunny, like, oh, there's lead in the paint, like, let's go destroy, like, my niece's toys or whatever. It was, like, this stupid, I did it on stage, like, last year, just, like, see if I can get a fuck, like, you know what I mean, like, whatever. He fucking did a joke about the toy recall. Anybody remember that toy recall? I'm like, in fucking 2007. It's fucking almost, you know, it's fucking 2020. And you're like, but goes back to what you're saying, he has that in his back pocket because nobody has seen him do, but he does that, like, topical fucking, but I think that's the borderline, and I think that's what's tough. As in, I'm a fucking born of fucking open mics, as in, I don't, like, you know, you got the fucking New Orleans experience, the LA experience, the whatever, like, and I think about that sometimes, like, what the fucking cage it puts you in to, I need attention, will I do good, will I do better than them, will I, you know what I mean, and, like, the open mic, and therefore the perspective is never, which it should be, like, if you're fucking doing a professional thing, you want the fucking show to be good, you want 2 hours of fucking comedy where the people enjoy it, but if you have people in that cage in their mind of, will I do as good as this part? You know what I mean? And it's it fucking lowers the fucking, the quality, whereas we all should just be like, but a lot of times we don't want to be that. We want to be that aloof comedian. We want to be cool guy and not the fucking person who goes right for the fucking, you know what I mean? And fucking try, because it's going to make everybody be on your shit and keep the fucking, so, you know, you see hosts go up there and they don't give a fuck either. How the fuck are you going to bring me up? You don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You were supposed to prime the crowd.
Yeah.
As in, treat them like they're paying for entertainment. Get them fucking loose. And then it's up to me to fucking go up there and do fucking 5-10 minutes and get fucking. And you see it, but, like, it's like almost like the fucking cage in our heads. And I find myself getting, like, trapped in it, where you go, why am I, you know what I mean? Like, what is my fucking goal? Like, what is the fucking, so, I guess it's, like, that's what's tricky sometimes, where you almost, like, you almost sound, like, pretentious in your head, going, like, it's about the people, it's about the fucking entertainment. You don't want to, because, like, a lot, you know, have a fucking stand-up, everything's become confessional. You don't see the fucking, you know what I mean? Like, everything's very much geared towards that in the last 10 fucking 15 years. It's all the same, you know, what's going on in my head? You know what I'm saying? And we let people look at a fucking Louis C.K. He's been doing it for fucking 30 years, and he figured out a way to fucking keep burning. You know what I mean? He goes through his material, and he fucking starts again because he found a way to go, I have to keep fucking saying something. Yeah. As opposed to just...
I have to keep creating instead of, like, regurgitating, you know. And I also got stuck in this, like, for maybe, like, 6 months. I would always open for this with the same joke for 6 months. That's too long, especially in a town that's so small. When you see the same comedians four nights a week and you're doing the same joke for them, too, then they start to kind of feel like... So when I would go, this comic in the room has seen this joke so many times, I'm going to switch it up now, you know. So that really does motivate me, like, who's in the room kind of sometimes motivates me, like, all right, I'm going to say this old joke for the last time tonight until I record it for a special, but until then, let me put this on the back burner, let me write new stuff. But it's hard if, like, you know, you're not given an hour special to, like, burn all your material. What's the motivation to, like, create new, you know? But it's the thing in your head. It's just discipline. It's discipline. It's writing. There's a thing that evil Bill Gates made called Microsoft Word. And you can save a file on there, a Word document, and then, or, you know, whatever on the, you know.
Yeah, if not, like, I find myself, because I'm saying, like, I'm fucking guilty of, like, what I was saying before. Like, we started to do some shows here. So instead of the open mics, like, we're doing shows. And now I'm trying to get my feet wet because, like, the roast, I sat up there for 4 hours and just got roasted. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so what? It was like my name was on it, but Dan Caprio fucking had to do 38 minutes to fucking host the fucking thing. So I'm up there and we did a fucking Halloween show. And I found myself going that, like, you know, the show got a little delayed, like, of the start. The crowd was there, but I'm fucking anxious because I see crowds just leave. And I go up there and I'm doing a fucking joke and I cut a couple things short that in retrospect I go, be fucking confident and go through your fucking joke. As in, I cut myself and the show went good. Everything ran smooth and I'm glad. Like, as in, I got that fucking thing over my shoulder. What you say, it's indulgent. Like, when you notice that about somebody and I'm like almost too much because I'm like, I can't fucking, I don't want to waste these fucking people's time.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also like, so I started with improv. I started with the Upright Citizens Brigade when I was an undergrad at the new school. So I took all their classes, all six levels of their classes. And then I did it for another 2 years in LA. And then after, like, I don't know, 9 years of improv. I started when I was 17. So from 17 to 26, I only did improv. And then I was like, wait a minute. If I'm not hired on a sitcom, I'm fucked. So, like, Vincent Van Gogh, maybe I should make some paintings so I could sell some paintings, right? So I was like, I gotta start doing stand-up so I can make some stand-up specials and I can sell them eventually and ever get a sandwich from art. Like, that's why I was like, I need food from art or rent from art. That's the goal. I gotta stop this improv shit because I can't control whether or not I get hired on a sitcom with these comedy skills. But improv skills definitely taught me that it's like, if this, then what? If this is true, if your uncle at the barbecue sports gambling, well, then he also probably is always chasing loose women that just want him for his money. Sometimes he has it, sometimes he doesn't. If this is true, then what? Then this is true, then what? Then what does that look like? Then what? Right, so if you're always, like, on a path, and the longer you stay with a premise and continue to dig it out, the more confidence the audience has in you because they're like, he's been talking about slippers for 20 minutes and it's hilarious. But it's just when you run out or you hit a wall and then people stay up there, that's when I get annoyed.
Right.
And they don't, like, have the preparation or the, I don't know, skills to get themselves out.
And that's interesting to me because I don't have, like, the improv, like, I'm interested in that, though, like, approach and, because it's almost like when you say that, it's starting almost like the dots are connecting. Like, as far as, like, what you're saying about, like, whatever. Like, and just for the sake of it, I told this joke one time on Halloween last year. I never really told it again because it's, like, a little bit, like, more of a... And I realized, like, the whole point of it is, like, the misdirection and the fucking human element of it. Like, I'm telling this story, and you think you hear the fucking trigger words, palsy, fucking blah, blah, blah. And I'm just, it's almost like a fucking stupid, it's an absurd fucking thing that we didn't baby people just because of their disabilities. My friend Dennis, he had a fucking palsy, he had a fucking motorized wheelchair, but we just built a lawnmower underneath it. And then we made him the landscaper of the school. Like, it was like the whole thing was, and I realized, you know, and I got, like, a ripple here and there, but I just didn't, because the whole point of it was you go slow. And you really, you know what I mean? You make them fucking go.
Oh, God, like, what a gold. So I'm, in my head, I go, if this, then what? Then this handicap needs this apparatus, right. But it's also a Zamboni. And then this handicap, this blind person, it's already walking around with the clicker.
It's one of those things, you know? I'm on fucking Google looking up, like, did South Park do it? Like, as in, because it seems too, and part of me is like, it's almost too, and it can be a one-liner thing. I'm like, oh, my friend Benny had palsy. We built, you know what I mean? But part of me, I was the host of the show, and I wanted to start warm almost and, like, get a good fucking misdirection laugh and get people, and it did all right. But I ended up, because of, like I was saying, I was had that fucking thought in my head of, like, I don't want to lose these fucking people. I don't want to be indulgent. Mm. I don't want to be, just as an example of, like, what you're saying, like, shit like that, where sometimes you can fucking sabotage yourself and just, in other words, I should just trust that fucking thing and go, it popped into my head. It's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever thought.
Yeah.
To give a fucking kid with palsy a fucking lawnmower, but I'm in the car kind of laughing for the first time in months. As in, I sit at fucking open mics and I'm kind of like, I want to blow my brains out. And I go, I'm fucking kind of giggling to myself in a car, as in, that's kind of funny. I should just fucking build it, like you're saying. If that, like, as in, so I can see that where that helps. Like that idea, like the approach, the fucking, the discipline.
Yeah, and
the,
then like, if it, improv also in comedy, if you ever hear the rule of three. So if you give one example, give three. So we gave the palsy guy the wheelchair. We gave the blind kid. I don't know. You know, this. If this, the world, if the game. So the UCB always talks about this thing called the game. The game of why this is funny is you're turning a handicapped person into a person who's helpful to society going around their handicap, right? That's the game of the scene. So if you have three examples of that, it could be a one-liner, but it could be 7 minutes.
And that's why I get caught in
I get caught instead
fucking
of being insecure or unconfident, like, oh, I didn't prepare have enough. That's why it's like, dude, sitting at the computer and stressing over it and, you know, is the most important part. Because
absolutely.
Then
absolutely.
You, like, work out these problems before you bring it up.
Yeah, because I got this goofy thing and I got, we changed the landscape that year, which is, you know what I mean, just a stupid we made him the fucking, in other words, like, we could have babied him, but we had him fucking cut the lawn. He was great at it, because all he had to do was basically just ride around. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, but I couldn't, like you're saying, like, if a little bit more of sitting at the computer, it maybe would have made me realize, all right, you got to go slow. You got to feel it out. You got to go, got to go, what's the fucking little thing that's going to make the audience go, like, they almost, like, fall into it. I'm just telling the fucking story about.
It's like the movie Rain Man, where he's autistic, and then he brings them to Vegas, and they make millions of dollars. So it's like, but that only, like, multiple examples. And then the more ridiculous they are, you know, the guy who's, I don't know. I was going to say colorblind. I don't know. I don't have these examples. It's a game. It's like a Rubik's Cube. You know.
Yeah, and that's like an interesting thing, because, like, when you play on, it's almost like I fucking think about those things a lot, as in, what you can you play on where people go, they kind of go, you shouldn't talk about that. You shouldn't fucking, and how can you make it human to where you just go, like, I had this little fucking scenario. I was actually trying to get Kelsey to write a song about it, about, like, a teenage girl who just gets sick of getting fucked over by, like, you know, local fucking kids at her school and blah, blah, blah. And she teaches, like, the fucking kid down the street's autistic, but she teaches them how to eat pussy. So she can get off whenever she wants, as in, and it's like one of those things where people go, that's a terrible, like, but if you sell it, as in, he's a fucking hero.
What girl
doesn't want their pussy in amazingly?
Right.
Like, as in, but to get from there to there, you go, that's where, I guess, what you would go is the craft and the fucking art of making people not go, like, this is terrible. But when you really think about it, if it's a fucking 80s movie, it's just a fucking scene in the fucking, like, in a movie. They're not mocking fucking this or that.
Yeah.
They're just going, you know, task. Like, if fucking somebody's task-oriented or fucking whatever. And it's like combining these things of just, you know. Because that, you know, that's the other fucking.
It's just crazy, like, what we were talking about with the government and how they print money and they make other people their slaves that work for it. And then they're taxed on the money that they print. Everything is nonsense. So the reason why freedom of speech is so important is because, like, you know, if you say, oh, you can't say that, you can't talk about this subject. Do you know how evil the fucking world is, right? So if you don't speak to the actual, if you don't match, if your comedy isn't capable of understanding the evil, and so you have to, like, sugarcoat everything or talk about just, like, ice cream and puppy dogs, you know, then you're kind of irrelevant. Like, whether you were a comic or not, in the grand scheme of the world, was irrelevant, in my opinion, if you only do clean humor. If you only do humor that's, you know, family-friendly, you probably just should not have been a comedian because you're irrelevant. Nothing you say matters. Nothing you say is important. Nothing you say can have a societal change or in a positive direction because you're not talking about anything real or substantive.
And what's, like, almost, like, sad is that that gets corrupted almost to be, like, it's more about making a point. And I see this with people who I fucking, like, loved for years and blah, blah, blah. And, like, it's like a lot. Like, in other words, like, you know what I mean?
Like, as they're trying to make a point and getting applause instead of being
right, right. And I almost go, what am I going to fucking go something about Dave Chappelle's blah, blah, blah. But, like, part of me goes, in that moment in history, every fucking thing on the media is saying the same thing he said for a half hour about the fucking terrible thing that happened. Mm. Where I was like, part of me goes, he should have called it that and just fucking told jokes to those fucking people. Because that might have been more useful. Whereas, but again, at the same time, you can't take away from people who are posting and going, he said this, he needed to say this, there's not a lot of laughs, but that's not the point. Mm. But part of me is like, it's called a comedy special.
Yeah.
As in, and I'm going, and again, whatever, if it fucking meant something, but I watched it, and it was that same, like, Dave Chappelle takes 10 minutes to get set up, he's smoking a cigarette, he's, what's up, blah, 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 and then when he gets, starts really talking, when he starts talking, I'm just like, I've seen this on my fucking Facebook and Instagram, and what you're saying is fucking blah, 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 you know what I mean? And it's almost like, part of me goes, hypothetical, but you know, at the same time, if people say it means something to them, it means something to them. But, like, I think that often, where guys who I don't fucking agree with politically somehow can still make me laugh, like a Bill Maher with his team of writers, or say whatever you want about him. I don't fucking agree. Like, this fucking guy annoys me almost, but he can still fucking catch me off guard and get me and go, like, ah, fucking, I like that, or that's fucking funny, or that's, like, but when it becomes so saturated with just, I'm gonna make this point, where you go, I didn't laugh during this fucking, I didn't laugh during this fucking special. Like, I didn't fucking, like, and that's the fucking, you know what I mean? Like, that's the root of the fucking.
So, speaking of, so let me give you an example from one of my specials. I had this joke where I say,
I think that the economy's about to crash. I don't know about you guys. I think that this whole system is fucking rigged.
It just seems to me that our money is based on a bunch of bullshit. You know, it used to be redeemable for silver, but now it just says a Federal Reserve note. It's a bunch of bullshit. I think dollars, currency, should be based on blowjobs. Then it would never lose value. That's a hard asset. You know what I mean?
Let me just give you an example. Like, Bernie Madoff could not have a Ponzi scheme if a currency's based on blowjobs, you know? You'd be like, that's hilarious. Okay, this account says you owe me 7.8 million blowjobs, Bernie, so get sucking. Put your money where your mouth is, banker. You know what I mean? We gotta keep the bankers honest. You can't derivative financial swap these nuts.
So I think the best jokes that I'm most proud of in my own act are stuff that involve, you know, something that's stupid and ridiculous, plus something that's really smart and poignant. And if you put them together, you're the best kind of comic.
Right, right, right. It's that fucking, it's like the contrast. I fucking, as weird as it, I don't know, fucking, if you know, like, you know Crowded House, the band?
No.
Don't Dream It's Over. That dude, I got into them for a while, but that dude had a fucking thing, because he's like the fucking John Lennon of fucking, like, Australia and New Zealand. He's from New Zealand or whatever, but he did, like, a little fucking thing I was watching once on YouTube, where he goes, these are the pillars of a good song, and he said this, this, and this, and then he goes, like, contrast. Like, he likes the idea of, like, the music is haunting, but the lyrics are actually happy, or the lyrics are dark, but the music is actually, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. And what you're saying about poignant versus, like, political, you know what I mean? It's a political point. You'd be being a fucking, you know, but it's like that play on the human element versus the point you're making. It's the combination of the contrast of those fucking, of those things which may give that person that fucking, like, rise in their fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you make a metaphor, like this, highly difficult to understand geopolitical issue is your, look, it's just like farting in a bag, okay? So when you fart in a bag, that stays, it grows interest, and like, you know what I mean? It's just when you take something that's like serious and hard to explain and you put it in the dumbest possible scenario, to me that's the best. I don't know, to me, like, someone also who has balls is like Brian St. John, like 2 weeks ago when he was here. And he made fun of Richard Jewell right in front of his mom, where he was like, oh, man, this quarantine's been about 9 weeks. That's how long you were in the womb, right, Jewell? And it was just, like, right in front of his mom. Like, he's, like, off the dome, but he always, like, has no boundaries and is so mean that maybe he's just a mean, awful person. But he made me laugh so hard with that.
The next guy coming to the stage is a bit of a newcomer to the Brighton bar scene, and I think he's all right, I guess. I don't know. Give it up for Eric Hollaback. Yeah. Hello, everybody at Brighton Bar. I'm going to make fun of some people now. Burn some bridges. Matt Massimetto is here. I've never seen a whiter man with a Japanese name. I wanted to kamikaze his Hyundai Sonata off the Garden State Parkway. Jack Steiger was supposed to be here. I'm so mad he's not. Jack Steiger is an occultist. He's an occult person. Do you know this, Jack Steiger? Unfortunately for him, the only spell he's been able to master is conjuring jealousy that his brother makes money and he doesn't. So that's a weird... Jack Steiger always makes fun of Mags, and he always makes fun of Joe McAndrew, except when he's actually in the room. Then he doesn't. And I've called several psychologists about this, and clinically, Jack Steiger is a spineless cunt. I'm just saying that's what the diagnosis was. But several psychologists, Dylan Trimboli and Victoria Scaplin, are here. Wow. I think they should make love, you know? If they lived in a library and were forced to breed and made a child in that library, their kid would be illiterate. Okay. If Dylan Trimboli and Victoria Scapley were locked in a library for a month, they would not make one Richard Dweck joke that made sense. I think we proved that today. It's weird. Allie Mae is on the list. But I don't see her in the room. That's weird. I think Joe just put her name on the list, and then both of them didn't show up like entitled cunts. Turns out I'm a spineless piece of garbage as well. This evening isn't about all these inbred, hack, open micer pieces of garbage. It's about Richard Dweck. Give me a hand for Richard Dweck. Richard Dweck has been in community college for 6 years for an associate's degree. He hasn't earned it. I looked it up. If he's there for 5 more semesters, legally, we all have to call him Dr. Mongoloid Idiot. Richard Dweck wears Velcro shoes because he hasn't had time to learn how to tie them. He's been too busy gaining weight, playing video games, and getting bull dyke haircuts. God, his haircut is awful. He looks like a professional wrestler, juggalo, feminist lesbian. I don't know. He just tells the barber that's what he wants. And now he has a side ponytail. A side ponytail. He's a lot lizard, basically. He's a wealthy lot lizard. So the truckers have something to hold on to. Richard Dweck hasn't had sex in a decade. He's very clear about this. He hasn't had sex in a decade, and I contacted his internet provider recently. And I got a list of his Google searches. I'm going to read them for you right now. He hasn't made love for a decade. Number one, in March 15th of 2019, Richard Dweck Googled best Kindle for incels. He says, platonic relationship, nice lady. That was this past summer. And in the fall, October 14th, 2019, Richard Dweck Googled live action role play girlfriend. So I just hope he finds love one day. Richard Dweck, he's an autistic, bipolar, schizophrenic retard, right? Right? But I feel like he's my bipolar, schizophrenic, stupid, piece of garbage, Velcro shoe retard. And I hope he's yours as well. I love him very much. Bye-bye.
But I also really like that about New Jersey versus New Orleans. Like, in New Orleans, like, I found that there was, like, this group of, like, social justice comics, and they fucking hated me. And they hated a lot of people. And I was going to do this joke today. Like, what's the difference between Southerners and Jersey people? Like, and I think this is true. Like, Southerners will ruin the reputation of five people a year. Five people a year, they'll get on their stoop and they'll sip sarsaparilla and they'll go, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened at Betty Sue's house last night. And they'll, like, gossip and ruin the reputation of five people a year. Five people a year. They're terrible, you know? Jersey people are not like that. I will have five enemies in my lifetime. You will never see or hear from them again. I will blend them into a paste and turn them into a parkway, and there will be no witnesses. I'm not a sociopath. Five people a year? That's a lot of people. I will have five enemies in my life where I will bleach my car through and through. There'll be no DNA evidence. They'll be gone forever.
Fuck me. Fuck me, you motherfucker. Fuck my mother.
I'm not the bad guy. Right. And I'm calling myself a murderer.
Right. Yeah, that's funny because I was caught in between. I was going to do this fucking joke about, like, my favorite political opinion is that, like, mass shootings have nothing to do with mental illness, you know? Like, as in, a mass shooter has a lot of things going on upstairs. You know, screw loose is definitely not one of them. Like, you know, and just really, like, just milk it as in, I know that's not the point in the actual political debate. Like, obviously, it's the guns and blah, blah, blah. But, like, when people get so fucking fired up and they go, it's nothing to do with mental illness, and I'm just like, I feel like most mass shooters have some history of fucking mental illness, regardless of whether or not you think the access to guns is blah, 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 they fucking lie to us. I remember reading, and this is something because of when I grew up, that's fucking stamped by, and then I read a book, the guy who fucking followed Columbine from fucking the beginning, he wrote a book 10 years later and went, here are all the myths and the things that they put out that has nothing to fucking do with. They weren't bullied. Mm-hmm. They weren't perceived as Eric Harris fucking convinced his fucking therapist. She wanted to fuck him. He was he was a weirdo, but he was a sociopath. He was charming. Mm-hmm. These fucking kids were not bullied. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in fucking, like, I was 12, and it was like, bullies, don't bully. Mm-hmm. This is what happens when you fucking, you're scared to death, because you're like, oh my God, if that, you bully somebody, and then you find, that's what they told us? That's what causes the fucking...
Were they, like, MK Ultra? Were they, like, in some kind of mind control program or, like, any, you know?
Like the Columbine kids, when you look back at it. And then you go fucking Jefferson County, there was supposed to be a follow-up. And it's like, the guy made the point of, there was a psychopath and a sociopath, which is a perfect storm that's going to lead to fucking mass violence of some sort. And it's interesting that they say that when those kids were shooting people and blah, 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 that Eric Harris, who was the sociopath, who really was cold and didn't want, the other kid was more of like a psychopath. He was passionate. He was hurt. He was hurt by things. And but it had nothing to do with getting bullied like in any fucking whatever. But at one point, he went through this like fugue state that he just kind of walked around and like shot the lockers. And because his fucking destiny in his head was, we're going to do this thing, and then we're going to, and so their bombs didn't go off, and at one point, he actually is only, like, maybe responsible for, like, I think he shot somebody in the distance, but the other kid mostly killed everybody. Mm. He's the one shooting people under the fucking desks in the library and shit, and the other kid kind of just wandered around in, like, this state of just, it's over with, shot the lockers, shot things, not people, psychopaths. Versus sociopath.
Right.
But it's so
it was
much
the
more.
The leader and the follower, right. But they needed each other.
It's so much more complex than just.
Yeah.
They weren't into trench coat mafia. The trench coat mafia was a tradition at Columbine High School. It was like a goofy club that they actually made fun of. Right. They wore trench coats because they had guns and they wanted to walk into school with the guns concealed. They were a part of the trench coat mafia. The trench coat mafia, they were trying to go and kill. The fucking yuppie jock assholes who had this stupid club called the Trenchcoat. But, you know, I'm fucking 12 years old and it's in the news. And they told, and I remember reading a book at fucking like 25 going, I don't know what the fuck, like whatever, but Jesus fucking Christ. Is this what they do?
Yeah, the media just takes the tragedy and then makes their own like screenplay out of it and then pumps it out. Because this will sell more, you know, Johnson & Johnson bath supply products.
And I'm fucking, yeah, and I'm having conversations with people, and they're looking at me like a piece of shit. And I'm just saying, as in, there's a lot of terrible shit in the news.
Yeah.
But based on that, as in, I was a child, and then I was a grown man who had a fucking, you know, and I read the fucking thing, and I went, this is what they do with everything.
Mm.
As in, I'm not saying blah, blah, blah. I'm just a little bit like, how the fuck do I trust anything, fucking anything, the media says.
Dude, after the Las Vegas shooting from the MGM Grand, you know, there was this girl, her name was Kimberly something, and she wrote a post on Facebook, like she was a survivor, and she was like, there were multiple gunmen on the ground chasing us, shooting at us. Also, she said, had this thing, before the gunfire came from the windows, right? Somebody was lighting firecrackers on the ground. Strips of firecrackers. And people were like, stop doing that. And then the bullets came. So that was pre-programming the people on the ground that when these cracks go off on the ground, those are firecrackers, so they're safe. So just stay, it's fine. So was it one guy shooting from the window, or was there a whole operation of people laying strips of firecrackers to tell people, these are safe, these little shots? So that extra 10 seconds to get more people to stay in the position they want so that they can be killed in the field. And also, her, after she wrote that post, she died like 3 days later. Okay, and there was this list of all the people that were survivors. They all died in different ways. One from a car accident. One got leukemia like this and died. One died of a heart attack. One, you know, had a mountain biking accident. I mean, the list of survivors of the Las Vegas massacre who died within 3 months is like 40.
Right.
The odds of this,
yeah.
It's the same as like the Kennedy. Every witness of the Kennedy assassination, one, you know, was on a hang glider.
And it sucks that you gotta wait till fucking 2030, but at some point somebody's gonna publish a book.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's gonna seem like exactly what you're saying. Like, there's something fucking else going on.
The CIA decided to release this, and by that time, all the family members are dead. Nobody can sue anybody for it anymore.
These motherfuckers fucking chase a fucking narrative, and that's what scared me about the Columbine shit.
Because
one of the major things I remember reading is that They were hiding in the library, and they put the gun under the fucking thing, and they went, do you believe in God? And the girl said, yes, I believe in God. And they shot her. And that was, they wrote a book. Like, it was an inspirational movement. And when they fucking really, like, reported back and went through all the fucking evidence, it was actually somebody else who said that. or that wasn't the right. exact words. It wasn't the fucking
well,
thing
Well, they
that,
had that screenplay ready to exactly, go. That book was exactly. ready to go before Columbine, and they said, let's change a couple names here and put this out.
It's fucking scary, because sometimes I'm wearing my fucking Selena shirt. I remember I bombed. I only performed my Selena shirt one time, and I bombed, and I was wearing it tonight going, I'm going to do all right, like, with my fucking... But, like, with Selena, look at the difference between when that poor young girl died and when they put out that fucking... that movie about her. As in, they just wait. Hollywood, like, tragedy. Mm-hmm. And how long... It's fucking, like, 18 months this mm-hmm. fucking girl died, and then they don't fucking show the reality, which is she got shot... And she was actually strong enough to run fucking 400 yards trying to get back into the fucking hotel. And she collapsed in the fucking... And they don't really show it because it would have been, I guess, glorifying fucking whatever. But I say that's glorifying her fucking strength as a fucking young woman who got yeah. shot. And fucking... But they just show Edward James almost crying. And then it's like, who, you know, who made the fucking money off of fucking...
The same people that
exactly,
murdered her.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
No, the Illuminati shot her for the ending of their script that they wrote before they did it.
I see it, like, with so many fucking things, and I'm just like, I get wrapped, you know what I mean? Like, you get wrapped up, and you get stamped in it, and you get, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, as in, the whole world now is, like, anti-cop, and it's like, I understand
right.
it,
yeah, yeah.
but I go, my fucking childhood memory is fucking 9/11, and cops were heroes.
Right.
I'm 13. I didn't ask for this fucking terrorist attack to happen. I didn't ask for... I just remember nobody in there fucking... There was no stand-up comedians going fuck the cops after fucking 9/11. As in, when I'm 25 and now maybe I just want to have a wife and a kid, where people are like, if you don't feel this way, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you go, how the fuck were you stamped? Versus yeah. how were you, as in... When all I know is to not trust what the fuck they tell you. I'm realizing that now. Yeah. Don't fucking trust a word they say.
But then in 2039, you know, a baby's going to fall in the Hudson River and a cop and a fireman, you know, jump right, in and right, they right. save her. And now everyone's like, Blue Lives Matter. Blue yeah, Lives Matter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The cycle continues like a phoenix rising from the ashes. The same dumb idea they had comes back.
Absolutely. And I'm fucking, like, I'm finding myself, I'm fucking talking to people, coming off as if I'm some kind of blind supporter of, like, authority or fucking, and I'm like, it's not the fucking case. You know what I mean? I'm not, like, a fucking just this, and this. I'm just saying, every fucking thing, like, where you, if you read back into it, like, yeah. from any story you heard when you were a kid, now read yeah. it and go, oh, my God. Because they fucking told, you know. Columbine, they got bullied, and then they shot everybody. Mm. It's so far from the truth that it makes you just go, if that's the point of everything, then what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we're all fighting over what we saw 2 seconds ago. Give it fucking a day or so before we go, this is definitely what the fuck happened.
Yeah. And people don't know that, like, Peter Rabbit, you know, people read that story, but he was actually, like, the neighborhood pervert, you know? And then when the children's book came out, it was like, you know, he was the local hero. So it's like, you never know, you know. He was a peeping Tom and all this stuff. But.
And it's going so far now that they're taking fucking things that aren't that and trying to make it that just because maybe somebody makes a point against what the fuck you think. And then you go, oh, well, I found one person who said he rubbed his dick on me. You know what I mean? Right, and it's right. just like.
There was this, they were also trying to say, like, speaking of rewriting history, the monument of, there's a monument of Abe Lincoln, like, unchaining a slave or whatever. And, like, they're tearing down all these monuments, and they're like, let's tear down Lincoln! And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. That was a moment in history where America was on the really wrong path. And this president said, no, fuck that. We gotta free the slaves. So, yeah, there's a chained up black boy, you know, which is problematic. But we can't erase the history of, like, this white president said, we got to stop this. And so they made a monument of that, you know, and without the context, you know, it might seem like, oh, well, what is this statue about? But you have, you know what I mean? So I'm not saying I'm against all the statues being ripped down, but that one, it's like, yo, this is a moment where he freed the slaves. Isn't he our homie now?
Right. Like, it's one of those things where, like, history goes by and it's almost like people don't understand that, where it's almost like, well, he should have just done this because this is what we think now 100 years later or whatever. Right. And it's like, and what, get shot sooner and not do that?
Right.
Like, as in, if Abraham Lincoln was a drama queen and attention star like everybody else, now he would have said, I'm again, he would have blew his fucking brains out, and fucking we would have had fucking 100 more years of fucking slavery. It's like, it's the context of what you're saying. That's a fucking brave motherfucker.
And he slow cooked the establishment in order to get that moment. You know, if he buried the lead, if he campaigned on that, he never would have got in to have that moment. So he had to, like, fool the establishment, and then when he got in there, then all of a sudden all hell broke loose. Yeah. They also, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin also really started the Civil War, too, but, you know, whatever.
But, Harriet Beecher Stowe.
That fucking
bitch. But, I was saying that the other day where they said something, people hate Trump and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. And they fucking fucked up his rally somehow through, like, TikTok. And the next day, because they can't stop from jerking themselves off, they print an article going, this is how we tore down the President Trump rally. I went, why are you telling President Trump, who this is a hiccup, and he's going to go, oh, they can do that to us now? Mm-hmm. And the next time, they're going to go, how do we avoid teenagers on TikTok ruining the fucking rally? Right, and it's like, stop. Like, as in what you're saying, Abraham Lincoln. If I just said blah, 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 but look what he did to go, you can't just, that's politics. And nowadays, everything's like, what did we do? Tell everybody. It's like, you fucking, if you want something to get done.
Yeah.
You tell your girlfriend you're fucking somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to fuck somebody. Guess what I did? I told you I was here, but I was really fucking my fucking side piece. You don't. You fuck your side piece, and you get...
And you shed your yapple. Right, yeah,
exactly.
Is there any integrity anymore?
But it's like they can't fight the fucking story. Mm-hmm. And I just... And again, that's a stupid fucking example.
They
but part of me just
brag
goes,
about every accomplishment.
And part of me goes, why don't you just shut the fuck up? As in, let Donald Trump... If you hate him and you want him to go down, let him suffer.
Yeah.
And do it fucking... Let him fucking figure it out.
Well, also, why didn't the Democrats take somebody electable who's not, like, legally retarded? Like, Joe Biden, like, you put a 5 to 12-year-old girl in front of him, he's going to go right, he's going to grab right for the pussy or the boobies. And, like, when he talks, it's like mushmouth. He's like, even Joe Biden has, like, an ad, right? A 30-second ad that they could have filmed 40 times. And he goes... Hi, I'm Joe Biden. I'd like to feel if you could maybe join, or if you for a favor of my campaign. And it's like, that was 10 seconds long. He missed up every sentence. And they had an unlimited budget, unlimited amount of times they could have refilmed it. He's still like, but I, if for...
Right, yeah.
It's been said from the dawn of our country of which I, for... My campaign. And it's like, are you serious?
This guy's fucking drooling. Yeah. He fucking has no fucking clue. He's getting fucking shuffled out there on wheels. Like, they push fucking... I felt that we went and saw fucking the Beach Boys. And they fucking had Brian Wilson. He's on death's door. He's fucking slurring. He had strokes. And they roll him out. And they do the fucking... Oh, like the fucking harm. And you're like... This is kind of, like, creepy that why don't they let this man die? Yeah. It's like Joe Biden. You get that feeling. Like, what the fuck?
Like, his pacemaker isn't an instrument. Like, like get him out of there.
It's almost like they want to lose. And which is scary if the biggest evil in the world is Donald Trump
but
and the Republicans.
But why are they rattling against him? He's the worst. He's the worst. That's not politics. That's not a position. He's the worst. He's the worst. Get somebody who's the best. And the guy they bring forward... can't talk. He can't say a sentence. And you're going to let the maniacal narcissist he looks like a pumpkin. He looks like a jack-o'-lantern. And they can't beat him because they're so corrupt. They have to get someone from the Bohemian Grove and the Council of Foreign Relations.
This new phony nationalism and populism that is being used by charlatans all across the world right now.
Who's a billion years old, and that's it. They, you know.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals where you look at how he fucking, like, steamrolled, like, Jeb Bush. He sucks. Like, and just, it was like, he's over with. It's like, how could anybody realistically, go Biden versus Trump in an election. Trump's just going to say whatever the fuck he planned and then go, this guy's fucking an idiot. Look at him. Who the fuck is going to change their mind? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to change their fucking mind based on Trump? You know what I mean? Like, if his Trump doesn't fucking drop dead, you never know. They say one day he's fucking sick, the next day he's fine. But honestly, it's going to come down to Trump versus Biden in a fucking debate. Who's going to fucking watch it? Because it's going to be Joe Biden going, saying, like, fucking, and then Trump's just going to go, this guy fucking, like, the same way he did with everybody else. And there's nothing there. There's nothing there.
I mean, Trump is a better talker than Joe Biden.
There's no truth that the United States, unlike what Putin seems to believe or say, that the U.S. is seeking regime change in Russia. So the question I have is, should we be? And if not, if we shouldn't be seeking regime change, what should we be seeking in the way of political change inside Russia? What's an appropriate agenda for the United States vis-a-vis Russia internally?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of brilliant minds sitting in front of me, and for me, presume to tell you what the answer to that question is, but I have an opinion, as you might guess.
Plus, you're sitting here, and they're
That's
not.
That's right. Yeah. look, folks. We can't make this about a conflict between Russia and the United States. We got to make this about a conflict between the Russian kleptocracy and oligarchy and the Russian people. There is no country in the world that, in fact, is comfortable with wholesale corruption. Wholesale corruption. Not based on any ideological rationale why the concentration of wealth has occurred the way it has. And the fact of the matter is that I think that there's a lot of things we can do and should be doing to make it clear that Russia has violated these norms and still be willing on strategic matters to talk to them and cooperate with them.
And that's saying something, you know. Bernie Sanders would have smashed Trump.
I was saying it. Him. I was fucking saying
but
it.
But they didn't want to have... run.
It was almost like too extreme, as in all the things they pretend to care about, Bernie Sanders actually would have tried to do and just went, wait a second now, the Clinton Foundation, like as in all this is going to be exposed and we're not going to get the money that we would have fucking, and it's like, that's a scary thing. And then they fucking, they jump on Bernie Sanders. But what the fucking chance he ever had, a fucking secular fucking Jew, an old secular Jew, like as in all the negatives, as in, but I feel like he would have fucking, because strangely enough, just people I talk to personal who seem like more conservative, they go, the only Democratic candidate I would consider. Mm. I talk to people who are very like, I can't say it because I'll get fucking beaten in the streets. Mm. But they go, I'd give Bernie a fucking chance. And it's like, nobody says that about Biden in my experience.
I mean, you have one person in your family who has a brain tumor and then goes bankrupt. And you're like, yeah, Bernie, you know, like this system is broken. It's fucked. He's the only one who says that. You know, Joe Biden is up there going, well, the system, we have to keep it together because I have ice cream. And, you know, a lot of times my niece likes to play with my leg hair. And they're like, well... You know, he's a corporate shithead, so he's, you know,
he's almost on the same page as us.
And it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
It's so fucking creepy with that shit. Fuck,
by the way, I want to say this, like, one of the comics in New Orleans, like, after Trump got in office, like, he had this whole bit about where he was doing, like, a Obama impression, and, like, literally 2 years into Trump's presidency, he was still doing the Obama thing. Like, because he didn't want to write any new material. And it's like, bro, when the president changes... You can't still do...
It might, like, better service your act to do the current fucking the fucking current president.
Well, he's just like, well, I wrote the thing about Taft, so I'm going with Taft jokes and, you know, President Garfield. It's like, dude, That was 50 years ago. You know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah, right. It's fucking...
Jay Leno wants another portion, doesn't want to write a joke. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a fucking... It's a weird fucking world. I would say, like, as in what, you know, what people are... And it's just like, I don't know, it's one of those deals where, you know, you're fucking, you're dizzy. You know what I mean? Like, as in if you go, I don't want to vote because it's fucking terrible. Then you're you're not this, you're not that. And it's just like, I think, like, as in I came to this conclusion one night talking about all the fucking things. And I was just like, to be honest with you, if Joe Biden wins, whatever progress, like, BLM is making, whatever fucking with the as in... That's not gonna happen. Joe Biden's gonna win. We're all gonna act like it fucking, you know what I mean? And the same fucking nothing is gonna change.
No, no, it's totally legitimate.
As in with Trump, who the fuck knows? As in, but you know what I'm saying? Like it was almost like, I don't know, man. Fucking Trump went into fucking, and I noticed all these fucking pedophiles in fucking Hollywood, they all started getting fucking exposed when Donald Trump was in fucking charge.
Yeah.
Versus where I go, as in I think they were coming after Louis C.K. for a long time, but he went on a fucking talk show and went, I love Hillary Clinton. Like, it was like this weird pussy ass, like, she's great. And I, you know what I mean? And it was just like, tick, like, you know, the fucking countdown to...
Yeah, I think Kevin Spacey was saying the same thing.
Exactly. And you notice everybody fucking, and part of me just goes, when somebody's like something, something, and Trump is fucking E, I didn't go under, you know what I mean? Under Obama, black men were getting killed by police, and they torched the town and then forgot about it. You know why? Because fucking Caitlyn Jenner was on fucking Vanity Fair, and that mattered more. Where people fucking shit, or in the bathroom, and that topic took over. When Trump gets into, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just go, it's a terrible fucking idea to have, but almost like, it's almost like that fucking absurd Donald Trump is in office. It's almost like, ask daddy for what you want, because that's what he wants. And that's politics, and that's what they don't understand. You keep fighting fucking daddy who's stubborn, it's never gonna fucking go anywhere. Really, you should be fucking kissing his ass. And he'd give you everything you fucking... You know what I mean? Whereas the other side is, they put a good face on it. Obama's a great speaker. You know what I mean? Yeah, the Democrats, they're more intellectual. And guess what? He's making the same fucking speech, but behind the scenes, the same fucking shit that you would agree is fucking evil is happening in the government. But I don't fucking know what the fuck on what fucking I'm talking about.
But whatever. We've had some beers. We've had some some conspiracies. Carl Callen, he's a staple of New Jersey comedy scene. Where's that next show? We'll be at the Brighton Bar probably next week. You know, where can people find you?
I'm on Facebook, Carl C. Callen. Instagram, The Carney Commission, like the town Carney. And, trying to think, like Twitter, I'm not really, so really those two, and you could definitely find me at Brighton Bar on fucking Monday and Tuesday nights, definitely. I'm putting out a little fucking, I recorded like some footage from like open mics and shit, so I'm doing this thing called the Om EP to make it sound like I'm being spiritual, like it's Om and Hindu, but it just means open mic. It's footage recorded at open mics that I did, so it's about like 18 to 22 minutes. We're putting that out on July 12th. Because you said your thing was July 15th, and that was just like...
You motherfucker! You're getting all that New Jersey local comedy.
We're going to, like, stream it on, like, Spotify or whatever. Oh, it's basically cool, just, like, a live comedy. It's not, like, a traditional special. It's kind of cobbled together from different... So... And then after that, I'm going to, you know, try to put out more shit or whatever. But, like, so that's, like, as far as, like, releases. But, yeah, I'm at Brighton Bar. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Carney Commission on Facebook. That's our, like, our... Our fucking organization thing we do. Wow, we put out the roast. We put out... So, yeah, that's where you can find me. On July 15th, you'll find me watching Eric Hollerback's...
Special Conspiracies and Dick Jokes on Amazon Prime. That's been another episode. A Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Carl C. Callen.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.